It's a very simple question. Pizza or hot dogs for your Purim Suda? Do you have to have meat or can you suffice? I don't know if it's the word suffice is appropriate, but can you have at your prefer fancy pastas or whatever, pizzas or whatever fancy milk dish? Can you have fish? Can you get away with such a meal? Or must you have a meat dish at your Purim Suda? So you open up a Gemara, and look, what does the Gemara say? Nothing. Not a word about meat at a Suda. The Rambam, however, writes, Kate said, Chova Su'udazu, how do you fulfill this mitzvah of the Suda on Purim? Sheyochal basar, you eat meat, v'sakin Suda noah, and you make a fancy meal, kafi asher timtzi yado, however you can afford. So you see clearly, the Rambam is assuming that there's meat at your meal on Purim. The Magen Mishnah says, what's the source of this Rambam? And he says, oh, it's the general classic dictum in the Talmud that says, ein simcha ela bebasar. You want to really be happy, you need to have a good hamburger or a juicy steak or a hot dog, you know, in order to be actually happy. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch and Ramah, when they talk about the Su'udah of Purim, don't mention a word about the content of the Suda in respect to meat. They talk about wine, they talk about the time, they even say you should have like zaronim, some type of like, zaronim is like seeds or something at the meal. Nothing about meat, not at all. So how come everyone has meat for their Suda? So there is another Shulchan Aruch talking about a depressing topic, which ties into our topic. He talks about if someone, Rachmana Litzlan, loses a parent on the day of Purim, or right before Purim, and he's an onein, he is not the status of an aninus, he haven't buried the body yet, so this person is in the status of onein, he's not supposed to have meat in general. Is he allowed to have meat at the Purim Suda? This is the question. And the Shulchan Aruch writes about this, if someone's an onein, he's mutter bebasar v'yayin at the Purim Suda. Why? Because the asay, the commandment of being an onein, does not push off the commandment to be happy at the meal. Meaning, it's clear from the Shulchan Aruch that you fulfill this happiness of Purim at the meal by having meat and wine. And therefore, an onein is allowed to have meat and wine because his aninus doesn't push off this commandment to have meat and wine at the meal. You see, very clearly, the Shulchan Aruch is assuming that you are supposed to, it's a mitzvah, it's an obligation, to have meat at the Purim Suda. Now, this fits if you take one or two Gemaras and try to, you know, twist them is the wrong word, you know, try to connect them to our context. They're not really connected to our sugya. There is a line in the Gemara of Chulin talking about Migvas Purim L'Purim for the Gabbai Tztaka. He's supposed to go around and distribute funds so people could have food for their Purim Suda. And he says you go from city to city and you give to, each city gets their own gabbai, has their own person giving, distributing, they collect from this city, they give it to this city. And then it says, Vein Medaktikim Bedaver. You don't start asking questions, what's the guy's tax returns for the last 5 years? You just give them money. Here's the key line. Avalokhin esal goim v'shochtin. You just take young calves, shech them, and distribute. That implies that what? In order to fulfill the Su'uda, you're not saying give me out pizza. You're not saying give me out pasta or fish. Huh?
That's because they didn't have pizza.
And they didn't have pizza in those days. Okay, but they could have given something else, given cake, mizonos, bread, lechem. It says agolim, calves. Gemara number one. Gemara number two says Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya sent an igla tilsa, sent a calf of to Rabbi Oshia for Shalach Manos to use for the Su'uda. So again, you have two Gemaras which reference meat at a Su'uda. Great. Says the Magen Avraham.
Yeah. There's nothing chashid in that day other than meat.
100%. Says the Magen Avraham. I don't get this. Says the Magen Avraham. What's going on? Says the Magen Avraham. An onein doesn't have to eat meat on Shabbos. I thought it's a mitzvah to be simcha on Shabbos. So then you can respond, says the Magen Avraham, well, it doesn't say the word simcha by Shabbos. But what about Yontif? It says simcha by Yontif, and an onein doesn't have to have meat on Yontif. So how come an onein doesn't have to have meat on Yontif, but he does need to have meat on Purim. It doesn't make any sense. What's the difference? Says the Magen Avraham. Therefore, I'm not so sure that you have to have meat at a Purim Suda. And he says, if you're going to have a Suda at night of Purim, and you're an Onin, Chasham, a person's an Onin, don't have meat at that Suda, because he says, that already, you know, we don't even know that there's a Suda at night, so you could maybe get away with having meat if you're an Onin during the day, because maybe there's a Chiyav of meat during the day. But definitely, says the Magen Avraham, I don't even know where this concept of meat on Purim comes from any different than any other Yontif. So what's Pshat? How come we all have meat at our Purim Suda? So says the Divrei Moshe, which was Rav Moshe Halberstam, I believe his son's Rosh Hashiva was Nifter a few years ago. He writes, the Be'emek Bracha says the same idea, is that it says very simply, Yemei Mishte V'Simcha. All other holidays, it says the word Simcha, the meat is just a means to get to the end. What's the end? To be happy on Yontif. There's no, if you want to get happy on Yontif without having meat, you can do that. On Purim, though, it says, Yemei Mishte V'Simcha, that there is a separate obligation to have a Mishte and a Simcha. Mishte is the wine, Simcha is the meat. So even if you could get happy through other mechanisms, through a slice of pizza, through pasta, whatever, fish, you have to have, huh? Anything else? Come, give me something else. No, give me something else interesting. Yeah, Jolly Ranchers, Snapple, whatever you want. Pick whatever your favorite thing. Okay, now yeah, you could say nowadays with some other stuff are legalized. You want to use other illegal substances. Huh?
The possible burger.
It doesn't count. Mishta v'simcha, says the Emek Bracha, means you must have meat as a fundamental concept. Fine. Yeah. No, I mean, it would have to be, even if they say basar behema takes precedence over basar oaf. I mean, you have to have real meat. Chicken may not constitute. So how do we paskin? Aruch HaShulchan just assumes for sure we're supposed to have meat. However, it's not so clear because we haven't found a great source yet other than that word Mishta V'Simcha, which is not mentioned in the Gemara, and the Magen Avraham seems to challenge. So Rabbi Sar of Nevinsol says it's not so clear you have to actually have meat. The Mishnah of Halachos also seems to doubt as well that maybe there's this concept of meat on Purim. We'll just end with one or two final points. Reb Sroy Dabutsky has a great point, which Yair actually pointed out to me. He was talking to me about this. It's a great point. If you have breakfast the morning of Purim and you're not having meat, you're having the Suda because you're having your bagel and butter for Purim morning. So you're fulfilling the Suda, yes? You're washing. Yet you're not having meat. So you must say, says Reb Sroy Dabutsky, this is not my Suda for breakfast of Purim morning. Because you're washing, you're having a bread, you're having a Suda. You're sitting, I don't know, you're having a whole spread, eggs and butter and whatever, cream cheese.
Plant sausages.
Plant sausages. Okay, fine. But if you're having perfect, you can have whatever you want in the morning. But it's not meat. And therefore, if you don't want it, you have to like negate it from your Suda. Because the optimal Suda, we said, is meat. You can have later on at 5 o'clock. So therefore, in the morning, it's better to say, either have meat for breakfast. Or if you're not going to have meat for breakfast, say, this is not my Purim Suda. Yeah, what's the problem with that? You could have two Sudas, but you only need one. So you're fulfilling the Suda.
No,
because
then you're assuming like you're not eating until you hit your actual Suda.
So that was Yair's point to me. And according to the story of the Winskis, maybe you can't. Meaning, you're allowed to eat beforehand, maybe if you have in mind, okay, I'm going to eat later on at 5 o'clock. No, there's no fasting. You could don't have a Suda. You could have candy and have Jolly Ranchers. But if you have wash, if you have a bagel for breakfast, is that a Suda, yes or no? Answer is yes, but you're not having meat. So how could you fulfill the Suda without meat? Answer is you don't mean to fulfill it. So you better say, I don't mean to fulfill my Suda. Or have a piece of salami. No? It's a Kiddush. It's a big Kiddush, to be honest with you. It's definitely a big Kiddush. I never saw it in that. I thought I was crazy when he told me. But then I found it. Roy Dabutsky seems to say that's what you should do. It's Mamash is Mechavin straight up. We have to end with one more point. I'm running out of my time. One more, 30 more seconds. There's a wild Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer points out there is a Gemara in Chulin, which says 4 times a year when you shecht an animal and you sell an animal, you have to tell people when you sold the mother animal. In other words, because you now would have oso vespino, you now would have eat or shecht a mother animal and a baby animal the same day. So therefore, you have to tell, since everyone's selling a lot of food, so a sukkis, Erev Pesach, all these days. Says the Chazam Sofer, if you have to have meat on Purim, Why doesn't the Gemara give a fifth day? Erev Purim, you should have to warn purchasers of your meat store. Oh, I sold the mother on this day. I sold the child on this day. Make sure they don't get shechted. Because it's just as important to have meat on Erev Purim, I mean, preparing for Purim or Purim itself, as Pesach and Sukkot. That's what we just said. Says the Chassam Sofer, what's the difference? Why doesn't the Mishnah list that? And listen to what he says. He says, because on Purim, there's only a mitzvah to have a calf, an egel. Now, I didn't know what the difference is. I'm dope. So I asked my wife, so what's the difference between a baby cow? And she told me that, well, baby one, I think it's called veal. No, am I going to get this wrong? If baby. I understood it correctly. So a baby calf is a fancier meat. No, a baby cow, the meat is that what's the difference between veal and meat? No, someone help me out here.
Veal is a
baby. No, but it's younger. It's a calf. So Chassam Sofer says, without using the word veal, says you should only have a egel, which is a baby cow meat, on Purim, and that's why it's not listed in the Mishnah. And
so it's supposed to have veal.
So listen to what he says. So what's pshat? He says because like this, all the other holidays we don't have veal, we don't have this egel because why did we mess up on other holidays? We had the Egel Azov around Pesach time, around Sukkot time, in the times of history. That was when we messed up. So we have the fear of the Egel Azov, the golden calf that we made in this week's Parsha, is shters us, prevents us from really having a baby calf, an Egel, at the meal. Purim, what do? Kimu v'kiblu. We re-accepted the whole Kabbalah Satorah. So therefore, you should specifically go out of your way to have an egel, not just any meat, veal, a young calf on Purim. Very pricey.
Very
all of a
pricey.
Sudden, and inflation is probably up even more. But according to this, you should specifically have an egel on Purim bedavka, only on Purim. And that's maybe a source of why we have meat. We should be zocha to have a lot of meat, a lot of wine, a lot of Jolly Ranchers, a lot of Snapple, whatever garbage you want to have, salami for sure. On Purim, we should be zocha to stay healthy even after we eat it. Shkoyach.